call your attention to Psalm 23, and we're actually going to be looking at a confession,
what we call a good confession, and we often talk about how that confession is good for the soul, but we're going to find out it's also good for the opportunities that we need in life. Amen?
Amen?
God wants us to confess that He is Lord. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're talking about a good confession. A good confession. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You again for Your amazing grace and Your awesome love. We ask that You would now speak to our hearts, help us to understand Your truth, and Lord, more importantly, to apply it to our lives. Father, we're here today to give You the praise because we recognize that that's what Your people ought to do. And Lord, we praise You not only with our lips, but with our actions. So we're asking that You would prepare us, that You would help us, and Lord, change us by what we hear, that we might indeed be changed for the good. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Again, I want to thank Reverend Gibbons for opening up the service. I want to thank Brother Joe for the music this morning and T and T. Al. I want to thank them this morning. What is a confession? And what is it that we're sharing when we talk about confessions? We said that confession helps you to overcome your weaknesses because you are actually looking to God, but then confessions also help you to recognize opportunities that God will send your way in your life. Now, when we talk about the confessions of the children of God, I want you to think about the fact that we are not where we need to be, but that's not an excuse. God has a place and a plan for us. And as we read Psalm 23, you go through that psalm and you talk about it in your times of need. But I want you to also look at Psalm 23 as being a good confession. It's talking about God, but more importantly, it's talking about you and your journey that you're having with God. You're interacting with God, and God is providing things for you. He's doing things both in you and for you so that He can work for His glory and that you can give Him all of the honor and all of the praise. A good confession, a couple of things that you need to understand, is that it demonstrates God's awesome power to His people. It's not just about the shepherd getting you beyond your problems and getting you beyond your difficulties, but it's about this shepherd who is interacting with you every day that you live, every moment of your life. This is not some 911 situation where you call on God when you have a need. This is God constantly and each day working in your life, never taking His eyes off of you, never being beyond His care and His protection for your life. This is your shepherd. And you need to know Him. Now, if you had not, and let's look at it this way, if you had not come to know God and have read this verse, would you have come up with this resolution? Would you have said and made these statements, "The Lord is my shepherd"? So the psalmist is really sharing with you something about his life. And I feel that it's important that we understand that we've got to stop being so self-focused and become what I call God-focused. Now, when you're focusing on God, you're saying, "Lord, I'm recognizing Your power. I'm recognizing that You're the authority over my life." Notice He says, "The Lord is my shepherd," personal pronoun. God is my shepherd, but He's also the one who guides me. I'm not looking to myself. Now, what's different about that? The Lord is not just my lawyer. The Lord is not just my doctor. Now, he does heal me. The Lord is not just my protector in times of trouble. Now, what's different about those situations? That's when you start calling on God, and it's more or less a 911. But when you know the Lord is your shepherd and you take the focus off of yourself and you start looking at God, he is constantly there. He is constantly working in our lives, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there are some responsibilities as we work through this. We're going to find out there are some things that we need to recognize in our life if we're to keep our focus and our attention on God and not on ourselves. God is doing something with you. You don't just raise sheep for nothing. They serve a purpose. They serve a function. And what I want to say to you today is that you serve a purpose with your life. Now, I want you to notice that where this psalm is going to end up, we're going to take you through this, but it's all a part of your confession. Here's the point that you need to look at. You're not your own shepherd. You can't be. You cannot shepherd yourself. So you need to stop every time you want to take the lead or I'm in control here, or I'm grown and we know all of that, but you're not your shepherd. You cannot shepherd yourself. You cannot lead yourself because spiritually you do not know what's going to happen next. You can't see the spiritual enemies. You don't know where they are. You don't know what kind of power they're going to come against you. You need a shepherd. You need somebody who has all powers in his hand. You need someone who says, I'm El Shaddai. You need a God to provide for you, not just anyone, anything, not just in an emergency, but I constantly need God. Do you not know that one of your greatest enemies is really you? And sheep can be dangerous. You know, they have no sense of whether they're grazing near a cliff. They don't know. They'll just graze right off the cliff, except that they have a shepherd. They don't know where to find food. Now, you and I, we say, yeah, I know where to find food, and, I go to the grocery store. That's not really where it comes from, but anyway. But spiritually, how do you find nourishment for your soul? Where do you get it from? You're certainly not going to get it from the world. And the devil is certainly not going to give you God's food. There's only one source that you can get that encouragement, that spiritual energy, and more than that, that life of God. You can only get it from God. Now, here's the thing that you've got to look at. It's all about this wonderful and amazing relationship that we have with God. That's what you're confessing. That's what you're saying about yourself and about your God. You're saying, I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd. You ought to be happy about that. You ought to be happy about that. Number one, you could not have a shepherd. God could not and is not obligated to make himself available to us. So when you make this proclamation and when you and I make that statement, we're saying something about the wonderful grace of God Almighty. He is making himself available to you and me. You don't have to look around and wonder, well, can I find a shepherd? How many of y'all ever seen in the country and you see a lost dog? And what they'll do sometimes for some of you city folk, they'll have dogs out and they'll be hunting and they'll go for miles, but then they get beyond the place where they know where they are. They kind of like to say, lose their scent. And when that happens, that dog, he recognizes that he's lost. He's looking for someone. One of your most vulnerable moments is when you get into a place where you don't know where you are. You can't figure out where life is going to take you. And so you're looking for a shepherd. You're looking for somebody that you can put your confidence in and you can put your trust in. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God is committed to you. You may not recognize him. You may not even see that the Lord is that committed to you. But God is committed absolutely to you and to me as the shepherd. And you ought to be happy about that. That's your confession. Now, what we're talking about is reminding yourself who God is.
All right.
Me reminding myself who God is. Now, you cannot do that if you don't have a relationship with Him. You can't just say, well, on Sunday He's my shepherd, but I got somebody else I'm hanging out with the rest of the week. Do you actually think that God's going to clock out and say to you, you're on your own, we just got this Sunday thing. You know, you come, lift your hands and praise the Lord, and clap your hand, get happy, then you're on your own for the rest of the time. That's not the way God works. It's either all or none. So when you talk about this relationship, you're actually talking about a full surrender. All right? None of this, well, I'm going to give the Lord this right now, then I give Him something. No. It doesn't work that way. You've got to have a full surrender of your life to this amazing God. And what this amazing God does, now, think about this. He could be busy with anything else. He's got an entire universe. As a matter of fact, God is so great that He can't even dwell in the universe that He made. And so what He does, He works in and through the things that He has created. That's how awesome God is. Now, here's the point that you need to understand. God is watching out for you, and He also wants you to recognize that you got a need. How many of you woke up this morning and knew that you needed God? Okay. Yeah, my shoulder reminded me, you need God. Yeah, you got pains in life. You got situations to deal with. And I'm so glad to know that today God can meet every need in your life. It doesn't mean that He gives me everything I want. He hasn't done that. He doesn't need to do that. But I know that He'll care for my need. I know that He'll provide. I know that He'll watch over me. I don't have to find the shepherd. All right? I don't have to ever look up and wonder, well, where is my shepherd? The problem is with me and my desire to wander off. I'm going to get to something in a little bit when we talk about this rod and the staff. The rod and the staff, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But when you recognize that, you automatically see that there's a need. And what's wrong with this generation, what's wrong with me sometimes, and if you admit something is wrong with you sometimes, we think that we don't have any want. When does that happen, preacher? Well, when we get a paycheck. Right? We're good now, right? We got a paycheck. We got money in the bank. But how many of you instantly start writing and paying your bills right after you get a paycheck and then you discover, I shall not want? You get to the place where the bills are oftentimes more than the paycheck, right? But doesn't God provide for you? Isn't God able to make whatever you have as a provision for you? Now, if you're getting beyond what you can pay, then you need to step back, right? But we have this relationship that reminds us that we shall not want. And what confidence that gives you. When you confess that, when you can say to the world, I'm not going to be in want. I'm not going to lack anything because I know that God will provide my need. Then you look at it at the security that God gives you. Yea, though I walk, we've used that verse many times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What happened in Florida this week? There are a lot of families in the valley of the shadow of death. No, they didn't lose their life, but their loved ones did. Now they got this gloom and this sadness over them. But guess who's in the valley right there? Guess who's walking through that with them? And while everybody else is going to give their speech and they're going to give their talk, God's going to give His presence.
Amen.
You'll never come across a time in life where God says, okay, I can't walk with you through this. Our good shepherd not only walks with us through it, but He takes us by the hand. Sometimes He takes us in His arms. Sometimes God carries us. Yeah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Now watch this. The rod, that's for your enemy. The shepherd would have a rod, but guess what the staff is for? That's for you. You ever seen these scenes where they have the crooked staff and when something or someone is beyond reach, they'll take the staff and pull them in? That's what God does to you. When you start walking in a manner that you're not living up to this confession that you have about God, that shepherd will take that staff and he'll pull you back in.
Amen.
Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's just a gentle nudge to remind you who you are. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. And his presence in your life means that if you never have a time that you're convicted of something, if you just do what you want, make it, set your own agenda, just do what you want, then you're really not his sheep.
Amen.
You're quiet.
All right.
Nobody's saying nothing.
Amen.
But when you feel the shepherd pulling you back in, making sure that you're not in an area of danger and making sure that you're not beyond his grace, that is the conviction of God. One of the most worst feelings that you'll ever have in life is to think you're right when you know you're wrong.
Amen.
Clap your hands to that one. Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? Thinking you were. The Bible said there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof. And you know what the shepherd does because you belong to him? You know what the shepherd does? He grabs you and he brings you back in. He lets you know that you wait a minute, you're beyond his reach now. You gotta come on back in. Amen?
Amen.
When I prepare for sermons, it happens every time I'm going to get across something or come across something that it convicts me. Because if we would be honest with ourselves, we're not where we need to be.
Right.
Even Paul acknowledged, I'm not apprehended. But I'm going to keep pressing on. Amen?
Amen?
And then here comes our responsibility, obedience. Say that with me, obedience.
Obedience.
We expect it of children, right?
That's right?
Children, obey your parents. We love that. But parents, obey the Lord.
All right.
Amen? Amen? If you don't get that line of authority right, if you can't say, God, I'm going to obey you. Look at this word right here. It said he leads me. He leads me where? In the paths of righteousness. Now, you can look at righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Greek word is diakosune. We had to pronounce it so many times. The righteousness of God. But what does it mean? It simply means you're following him. There should never be a time in your life or my life where God looks back and we're not following him. You know why? Because God is not in trouble. If you're not following him, God's not going to say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? No, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Every time I cease to follow, every time I cease instructions for my life, that's why I come to church. I don't just come to church because, yeah, I'm going to share the word. No, I come to church because I need the word. Anybody need the word? So when you talk about your shepherd, you're talking about your obedience to God, and you're saying, Lord, I want you to guide me.
Amen.
We're going to get to that in a few minutes because we're not just walking around Mount Zion. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. And our destination, Abraham, the man of faith, he looked for a destination. You don't just keep walking around. Yeah, I'm serving the Lord. And that's why, I'm not going to get into that today. I'm going to keep moving. Say, Pastor, keep moving. But I could tell you about people having programs just to have programs. I could tell you about that. Amen. I could preach on that, but I'm not going to preach on it. I'm not going to say, Pastor, keep moving. What's happening? God has made this promise to us. He's made this promise to us. Surely. In the New Testament, Jesus would put it this way. He would say, verily, verily. That meant it's going to happen. Surely what? Surely goodness. And mercy. I know sometimes you look at your life and say, I don't see them. They're following you. They're tracking you. How many of you got these cell phones, right? Everybody raise your hand. Even little kids got cell phones, right? Did you not know that thing is hooked up to the satellite, and so the satellite knows where you are? You can be tracked by your cell phone. But long before there were cell phones, long before there was a telephone, long before man discovered electricity, notice I said discovered, he didn't invent it. Long before man discovered electricity, God already had a GPS. Help me, somebody. And he already had two GPS assignments for you, that goodness and mercy would follow you. Now, why do I need them? Mercy comes along, Joe, so that I can be forgiven for the things I knew I should not have done. And mercy said, no, don't destroy them.
All right.
So mercy said, don't give him what he deserves. But here's goodness on the other hand. Goodness gives him a high five. So wait a minute. There are things that he needs that I know that he wants, but we're not going to give it. But surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to go back to this verse. I know some of y'all saying, wait a minute, he got it out of order. Yeah, I did, didn't I? Verse 5 goes back and says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I purposely didn't. I didn't do it. I did it by accident. Okay. But we're going to end with this because this is an unusual verse. Why in the world would you want to eat a meal with your enemies around? Amen. Imagine yourself being in the lunchroom, right? And you're going to sit down at the table with folks that don't like you. But it says God prepares this table before us in the presence of my enemies. Now, I studied this thing. I said, wait a minute, God, this is not right. Now, why would God prepare you a table, Carolyn, in the presence of your enemies? Well, you know folks don't like you, right?
That's right.
All right, don't get paranoid.
That's right.
I know folks don't like me. But here's the wonderful thing. Anytime God provides for you, the enemy is not a threat. You don't have to worry about them coming and taking what's yours because God has provided that for you. When you talk about the security of the shepherd, he also nourishes you. How many of you have had situations where people have tried to block your path? Situations came up where you said, this shouldn't be this hard, but it was hard. But now, if you would dare to give God just a little thanks, you're now past that because something happened. Your shepherd fed you. He took care of you. He provided for you no matter what you were going through. And right when the enemy was all around, you had this sense of contentment. You had this sense of knowing that the Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me now. God's going to take care of me. But not only that, when it talks about the anointing of oil, two things that happened. They used oil as a perfume. Not only that, I'm going to smell good. How many people come through a mess and they smell like the mess they come through? But while I'm enjoying it, I'm also going to have the anointing of God. But many of us, as we go through these trials, not only do we smell like a mess, we look like one. And guess what God does? He provides that oil of healing. He provides that oil of healing. Sometimes you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And yet God pours on, oh God Almighty. He pours on the oil and it says my cup runs over. When God anointed Aaron, it said that the oil flowed down over his garments and it flowed all over Aaron because it was more than enough. And what I'm telling you is the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, your shepherd is so good that, amen, it pours out and there's no stopping to it. No stopping to it. And so with that, when I sit down at the table, I'm fed up. I'm not like the world. Amen. The world is fed up. We're fed up with this. We're fed up with politics. We're fed up with the world. But I'm fed up because I'm satisfied. I'm fed up because I know the goodness of the Lord and I don't have to eat a bad diet anymore. Amen. I can eat good food. I can eat at the table of the Lord. Listen, what it says that God has prepared this table, right? He's prepared this table before us in the presence of my enemies. I don't have to eat scared. I know that God is with me. That's my confession. So what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen the next day? Many of us will turn back to the sources of the world, start eating the food of the world, and guess what? Every time you eat it, you're going to get sick. You're going to get sick of the politics. You're going to get sick of the greed. You're going to get sick of the wickedness in this world. It makes no sense. It makes no sense for someone to walk in a school and destroy the lives of children. And you could say, well, I'm fed up. But I'm fed from a different source. I know that despite the wickedness of man, God has a plan. And he's going to work this thing out. The enemy has already been defeated. You and I don't have to lay down and worry. You don't have to go back to your house and wonder what's going to happen next. Remember, you got a shepherd that walks with you, that talks with you, that tells you constantly you belong to him. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Just get fed up. Amen. Just say, you know what, God, I thank you that I'm fed up. And I'm out of time. And I'm finished preaching. But if God is good, clap your hands. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we prepare our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this confession that you've given to us, a good confession. The Bible said that Jesus confessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And Lord, we want to have a good confession. We don't want to be confessing our weakness and what we can't do. We want to confess, Lord, that you're our Christ. You're our living God. You're our shepherd. And you watch over us. Help us to have that good confession in the face of a dying world. And Lord, we give you praise for it. We give you glory for it because we know that you will provide. Bless that one today that maybe has not made a decision for Christ. Maybe they're putting it off for some later moment. I don't know why you would want to do that because we're living in such critical times. So if today's your day, just surrender to him. Just say, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and lead me, and I will follow in Jesus' name. If you say that prayer, I know that God will do his work of redeeming you. And thank you again, Lord, for just blessing us to be here today and to brag on you, to boast about you, to let the world know that, Lord, you're our shepherd and you're a wonderful shepherd. Thank you for being that. Help us now to serve you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to extend the invitation. If there be one today without Christ, without hope, or maybe you're saying to yourself, you know what, I want to be a part of Crossroad. I want to be a part of that fellowship. And the Lord is tugging at you. We invite you to come. If there be one today.